Welcome to Invested in Climate. Protecting the planet and decarbonizing the global economy is the challenge of our time. We all have a role to play, and the opportunity we face is unprecedented. Invested in Climate aims to help people do more to address climate change through their work, investments, lifestyle, and activism. I'm your host, Jason Rissman. I support a growing community of top climate and ESG leaders as the Chief Experience Officer at Nationswell, and I'm an advisor to the climate practice at IDEO. I'm also an investor and startup advisor, and when it comes to climate action, I know I'll be a lifelong learner, always looking to have more impact. If you like what you hear, give us a good rating on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you found us. Sign up for updates and suggest ideas for future episodes at investedinclimate.com. Follow us on social, subscribe, and spread the word. Thanks for joining.
People wait until the devices break instead of proactively upgrading outdated equipment to newer models that could significantly reduce their operating costs. So when free money from your employer is on the table in the form of a carbon savings account, and when there's a tool to simplify the logistics of these upgrades, you see a lot of momentum around proactive upgrades start to kick in.
Hi, folks. We know that motivating homeowners to invest in energy efficiency retrofits and home upgrades is hard. Energy efficiency might not sound glamorous, but across the U.S., retrofits can actually cut our residential energy usage in half. That's why when I met Scope Zero CEO Lizzie Kohler, I was excited to learn about her company's novel way of motivating home upgrades. What Lizzie and her co-founder realized is that our homes are now workplaces. And with employers now having to account for emissions for remote workers, they now have an incentive to help homeowners invest in upgrades. Enter the Carbon Savings Account. Modeled after FSAs and HSAs, the CSA can scale quickly and help millions of homeowners across the U.S. to begin investing in upgrades they've been putting off for too long. In this episode, we hear about Lizzie's background, the founding story of Scope Zero, the problems they're trying to solve, the best home upgrade investments, how the home upgrade ecosystem has been evolving, and much more. This is a fast and to-the-point episode. Hope you enjoy it. Hey, Lizzie. Welcome to Invested in Climate. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
You and I met at the Green Biz Conference in Phoenix a few weeks ago. How was the event for you?
Oh, it was great. Green Biz does such a nice job of bringing together the top thought leaders and change makers in climate. So we always really enjoy our time there.
Well, I enjoyed as well. Lots of great conversations and fun to reconnect with all sorts of friends. Let's get started by hearing a bit about your background. What sparked your interest in working on climate and what led you to founding Scope Zero?
Sure. So I think it'll be helpful if I first start with a high-level description of what we do at Scope Zero, which will make my background all the more relevant. So at Scope Zero, we created the Carbon Savings Account, or CSA. And the CSA is both a financial wellness benefit for employees and a corporate sustainability strategy for employers. Ultimately, we provide strong financial incentives for employees to upgrade their home tech and personal transportation, which then lowers a company's work from home and commute emissions. So I really think about the evolution for the idea of the Carbon Savings Account over three different periods of my journey into climate. The first was my childhood in West Virginia. West Virginia is a beautiful state, and I really did love my time there. But West Virginia's main industry is coal, and it's consistently ranked in the top three poorest states in the country. And this combination makes for a bit of an ironic setting. Many of my community members were coal miners risking their health to power the region. And at the same time, these folks are largely part of the one-third of Americans that can't afford their utility bills, let alone the efficiency upgrades that make these bills more affordable. Now, I was fortunate to go to university and study mechanical engineering, which leads me to the second period of inspiration for the Carbon Savings Account. So after my studies at West Virginia University, I worked at a company called Ameresco, where I was designing energy and water efficiency upgrades for military-based housing all over the U.S. And in this role, I was actually able to put numbers to how unaffordable and inaccessible home efficiency upgrades are, not just for folks in West Virginia, but for most homes across the U.S. which takes me to the third and final period of inspiration for the CSA. So in 2019, I left this position at Ameresco for grad school at Stanford University in a program that's called Sustainable Design and Construction. So again, I was focused on energy efficient building design. And during my time there, I was doing some informal side work with a recently retired VP of sustainability at Nike, who was trying to get all Nike employees to electrify their homes. And this was a great experience for me because it got me thinking about how employers and employees can work together to facilitate and accelerate home efficiency upgrades in a way that aligns incentives for both corporations and individuals, both financially and environmentally. So my co-founder, Caitlin Highstreet, and I were able to tie all of these pieces together to create the carbon savings account.
Wow. Well, I rarely meet someone who can draw such a clear line from their past experience through the company that they founded. So thank you, Lizzie, for sharing your background and the path to building Scope Zero. You mentioned some of the problems that Scope Zero is trying to help solve. Help us understand those a bit more. What really is Scope Zero able to address, and what are the key needs that you're trying to solve?
Yeah, absolutely. So ultimately, we make home technology and personal transportation upgrades more affordable and more accessible. And to do that, the carbon savings account follows a simple and familiar employee benefit framework, where the employee and the employer both contribute funds to the employee's CSA. Then the employee uses that money for eligible home technology and personal transportation upgrades that reduce their utility bills, fuel expenses, and carbon footprint. And these CSA eligible upgrades can save the average U.S. home over $5,000 per year in utility bills and fuel expenses. So the CSA ends up solving several problems for the employee. We provide the financial means for folks to make home tech and personal transportation upgrades. These upgrades significantly reduce employees' cost of living, which is especially important with such tightened household budgets. And then we also streamline the logistics of making upgrades with our customized recommendation engine that directs employees to the products and vendors that will best benefit their home.
I think it's worth hearing more about employer savings accounts. Many people know about FSAs and HSAs. Tell us a bit more about this model, how pervasive it is, and why it works.
For sure. So health savings accounts, or HSAs, are a really helpful analogy for understanding the CSA. So HSAs were created in the early 2000s, and with the HSA, the employee and the employer both contribute funds to the account. Then the employee uses that money in their HSA for eligible healthcare expenses. So ultimately, the HSA is a tool that the employer can provide to help keep their employees healthy. And employees benefit because they have extra cash to stay healthier, and employers benefit because a healthy workforce leads to better work outcomes. So many employers use a matching structure for their HSAs, which means the company contributes a certain amount to the HSA depending on how much the employee contributes. And this collaborative approach is effective because both sides have skin in the game to reach the desired outcome of a healthy and productive workforce.
So FSAs and HSAs offer something really valuable to employers and employees alike. How does this model translate to climate action?
So first, I think it's helpful to talk about how companies think about their carbon footprint. When companies measure their carbon emissions, not only do they include emissions from their manufacturing centers and their office buildings, but they are also responsible for the carbon emissions that come from employees commuting to work and working from home. The company's climate impact related to its employees can be measured and reduced by using the HSA model to help employees upgrade their home tech and personal transportation. So in our case, we use the carbon savings account, and the employee benefits from reduced cost of living and increased home comfort and value, and then the employer benefits from lowering their carbon footprint while attracting and retaining top talent.
Okay, let's get specific and understand how someone might use the money they put into a Scope Zero account. What are some of the things they might invest in?
Absolutely. So we have a comprehensive list of CSA eligible upgrades, and we usually think about these upgrades in six main categories. The first categories we refer to as our efficiency and electrification categories. And these categories include HVAC, water, lighting and plug loads, and appliances. So these upgrades range from Energy Star refrigerators to low flow shower heads to LEDs, to heat pumps and insulation. And then our last two eligible categories are clean energy and transportation. For clean energy, you could use your CSA for home solar and storage. And then for transportation, you could use your CSA for things like an electric vehicle, a commuter bike, and public transportation passes.
Lizzie, I know you did a ton of research on these different home upgrades. What did you learn? What really holds homeowners back from making these investments? And what is it that drives them to put in the time and money to deal with the hassle of replacing appliances or weatherproofing windows or taking on any of the upgrades they might consider?
Several things come to mind about what holds folks back from investing in home tech upgrades. Firstly, the upfront financial costs are often unaffordable. And to top that off, home upgrades can be a logistical headache. There are so many options for products and vendors. It's often questions of what do I buy? What products are best for my home? Who can install this for me? And then another key point here is that oftentimes we don't realize how wasteful our home technology is because we pay for our utility bills after the fact. So we have little insight into which devices are our highest consumers. And then as for what typically motivates people to upgrade, most of the time people wait until the devices break instead of proactively upgrading outdated equipment to newer models that could significantly reduce their operating costs. So when free money from your employer is on the table in the form of a carbon savings account, and when there's a tool to simplify the logistics of these upgrades, you see a lot of momentum around proactive upgrades start to kick in.
So clearly you're trying to reduce the barriers to home upgrades. Have you been able to do any experiments or collect any evidence showing that consumers will invest in CSAs?
Yes, our early results show high participation and excitement from employees using CSAs to upgrade their homes. And one of the coolest things about the CSA is how appealing and useful it is to any employee. We have CSA users in urban and rural settings, red states and blue states, renters and homeowners, and the age range is anywhere from young 20s to young 60s. Really, anyone with a home and anyone that uses transportation modes other than their feet to get around can significantly reduce their cost of living by investing in a CSA.
What about government incentives like those in the Inflation Reduction Act? How helpful are they, and does your product help consumers access them in any way?
Yes, absolutely. Our product surfaces relevant utility and government incentives so employees can further reduce the costs associated with home tech and personal transportation upgrades. And these incentives can be extremely complicated to navigate on your own. So when we simplify this process with our platform, it's a huge value add to our users.
Lizzie, your research also makes you an expert on the climate and financial impact of these upgrades. Considering both what'll cut emissions and save homeowners money, what of the many upgrades should be prioritized?
So the answer to this question really depends on the home, what climate it's in, how big it is, how the home is used, and so on. To help with prioritizing upgrades, the CSA platform does provide customized upgrade recommendations for the order of upgrades for each user, depending on their situation. But for the average home, we recommend knocking out the low-hanging fruit first. So this would be upgrades like LEDs, smart power strips, low-flow shower heads and faucets, and dual-flush toilets. In general, heating and cooling and water heating are huge energy consumers, so these are also high-impact upgrades that should have top priority. And you can put your savings from the low-hanging fruit upgrades towards the upfront costs of more expensive heat pumps. And then lastly, you can upgrade appliances like washing machines, dryers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and ranges. We prioritize appliances last because all of these appliances combined typically account for less than about 15% of a home's energy consumption. And then another helpful tip here is to insulate your home before you upgrade your heating and cooling systems. Insulation reduces your heating and cooling demand, which means you could put in a smaller and cheaper heating or cooling system if you have a well-insulated home. And this logic also applies to why you should make efficiency upgrades before you install rooftop solar. By first reducing your energy demand, you then need fewer solar panels to power your home. So your solar installation costs significantly decrease.
Let's talk a bit more about the benefits of a Scope Zero CSA for employers, because without them creating a CSA plan, consumers won't have access to this model. Clearly, there are some nice-to-have features that offer value to companies, but that's different from answering a truly painful problem. What should companies understand about your CSAs that'll really motivate adoption?
So it's important for employers to keep in mind that the carbon savings account is both an employee benefit and a corporate sustainability strategy. On the employee benefit side, the CSA is an effective solution to differentiate your benefits package to attract and retain top talent. And we're seeing that HR leaders use the CSA as a way to reduce the costs of their overall benefits expenses because the CSA can streamline a lot of similar benefits. For example, if a company already offers commuter benefits or work from home stipends or an EV reimbursement, they can redirect those budgets into a CSA, and now the employee has more choice on how they can apply those funds. So the CSA proves to be one of the most equitable benefits a company can offer because it's useful to any employee and creates this immediate and long-lasting financial wellness. And then as a corporate sustainability strategy, our platform measures, reduces, and reports a company's Scope 3 work from home and commute emissions, which is a painful process for a company to do on its own. And even if a company is able to measure the baseline of work from home and commute emissions, it's usually very difficult for them to track any progress that's made towards these emissions over time. So the CSA directly reduces the company's Scope 3 emissions, which reduces how much the company needs to spend on carbon offset credits to meet their climate goals.
Lizzie, I think that's a really good point to double click on because there's a cost for employers that are contributing to these plans. And if they think of this just as a perk that will help them, say, recruit talent or retain great talent, that's different than if they see there's an actual ROI for their business. How do you frame that ROI to help employers understand it?
So when it comes to how companies measure the value of their benefits offerings, they often look to employee participation rates, employee satisfaction with the benefit, and the alignment that the benefit has with the company's overall goals and mission. So the CSA ends up being a super small investment for the company, given how widespread its impact is. And to provide some numbers here, of course, we can see companies choosing to contribute $4,000 to $10,000 per enrolled employee to the CSA every year. But even as low as $400 to $600 being contributed to each employee's CSA can drive high impact for both the company and its employees. So the CSA ends up being usually well under $2 per enrolled employee per day. And not only does it provide all of the advantages of other employee benefits, but it also significantly contributes to the company's sustainability goals and branding.
Well, it all sounds good at the conceptual level. How's it going in practice? I know you're still early in the journey. Are you getting meetings with companies and how has the response been?
Overall, I think we've been quite fortunate with the timeliness of the carbon savings account. We're seeing most traction with Fortune 500 companies with formal climate commitments, utility companies, and mission-driven companies like climate tech companies or nonprofits. And it's been great to see the interest from HR and ESG leaders alike who are looking for this exact type of employee engagement tool.
Okay, tell us a bit about just how far along you are with the company. When did you get started and what's your growth plan and what are you expecting to accomplish over the next couple of years?
So Caitlin and I started working on Scope Zero when we were in grad school together a couple of years ago. We officially incorporated in 2022 and we launched the carbon savings account in 2023 with a Fortune 100 insurance company that's based out of New York. Ultimately, when we look at our main goals for building out Scope Zero, we want to be the main provider of green benefits in the world. You look at the benefits space over the past 10 to 20 years, the two main pillars of benefits offerings have really been healthcare and retirement. And just over the past couple of years, we're starting to see a huge surge in demand for green benefits. And the CSA does a great job of serving as this universal one-size-fits-all that not only provides green benefits to the employees, but can also tap into a lot of the financial wellness pieces that companies are trying to provide to their employees as well. So our goal is to ultimately be this one-stop shop for all things home tech and personal transportation that facilitate both financial and environmental wellness.
Working with big companies will, of course, enable you to launch thousands of plans through their employee base. How do you describe the total addressable market here? how big of an opportunity do you see for Scope Zero?
Exactly. So reaching thousands of employees at a time is what makes the CSA so effective at scaling home tech and personal transportation upgrades. So just as an employee benefit and just within the United States, our total addressable market would be all full-time employees at companies with 10 or more folks. So this clocks in at around 106 million people. And you'll find this to be a conservative estimate, especially when you start to factor in the demand we're seeing for a global presence.
Lizzie, what about from an environmental perspective? How do you quantify the impact that you can have in terms of emissions reduced or saved or other types of environmental benefits?
Sure. So the average U.S. home has quite wasteful technology. The average U.S. home could cut their utility bills in half with simple efficiency upgrades. So our potential impact is massive. Just as an employee benefit within the United States, the carbon savings account has the potential to save over $300 billion per year in utility bills and fuel expenses, which would be the environmental equivalent of removing 125 million cars from the road.
Being able to track the impact of the CSAs, both in cost and emissions, is really a compelling feature. Tell us about the dashboards that you've created and the data that it provides.
One of the main pillars of our platform is our data analytics pillar. And we use our data analytics model to measure financial and environmental savings associated with CSA upgrades. And we also use this model to provide customized upgrade recommendations to each employee. So in the employee dashboard, they can view their lifetime financial and environmental savings from their upgrades, and they can see how each individual upgrade impacted their utility bills and their fuel expenses.
I see that you also offer customers access to a partner vendor network. Tell us about how that works.
Exactly. So another main pillar of our platform is our marketplace. And you can think about this like an Amazon-esque style ecosystem for products and vendors for CSA eligible upgrades. And oftentimes these partner vendors will also offer a small discount to our users as well. So employees don't need to purchase through our partner vendors, but our marketplace functionality does significantly simplify the upgrade process.
Installers actually have a lot of influence on the products that people select, and there's historically been both a lack of awareness and real resistance to environmentally friendly products. Heat pumps, for instance, are not just something they're less familiar with, but can also slow down the sales cycle and installation process for contractors. So, how is the ecosystem surrounding home upgrades evolving? Is it adopting climate tech quickly enough, or is it still a source of friction?
I think it's such an exciting time to be working on home efficiency because of how much innovation is evolving in the space. Dandelion Energy is a great example of this. So they've streamlined the process of installing geothermal systems in residential areas in the Northeast. So in general, I think the momentum around climate tech is in our favor when it comes to the accessibility of CSA eligible upgrades and being able to find vendors that can help with this installation.
Great. Thanks, Lizzie. And for anyone interested in hearing more about Dandelion Energy, we did a previous episode with their founder, Kathy Hunan. Lizzie, you've described a really compelling business and a really positive climate impact. I'm sure that there's listeners that are wondering about your financing situation. Tell us about how you financed the company and if you expect to raise more funding.
We started out with a couple of non-dilutive grants from Stanford's Tomcat Center and from Caltech's Rocket Fund. We then raised a pre-seed round in 2022 that was led by Collaborative Fund, who's based in New York. And we're actively raising another round of funding right now that should close up here by the end of March.
Great. Well, best of luck with that funding round. Lizzie, let's take a step back now. You know, what I love about Scope Zero is that you found an elegant solution that addresses the needs of different groups and aligns them towards climate action in a really positive way. And it also gives you a good vantage point of the home retrofitting and energy efficiency space. So I'm curious, where else do you see opportunities for aligning interests and motivating change?
I agree. My favorite part about the CSA is how equitable it is in providing value to all companies and all employees. The CSA really is the most impactful solution a company can provide to its employees to foster financial and environmental wellness. And since the CSA is a one-stop shop for all things home tech and personal transportation, there's so much opportunity to expand our impact even beyond the employee benefit space. We can collaborate with landlords and utility companies or residential energy auditors or even banks that finance mortgages or home renovations. So we're excited by the opportunities to grow our impact towards personal financial wellness and a healthy planet. So I'm a big believer of individuals taking as much action as they can towards a healthy climate future. And the cool thing about the carbon savings account is how we can reach so many individuals at once to really scale that collective impact. One goal that we have at Scope Zero and that should be a main priority for everybody in the world is to prioritize education around what upgrades and what behavioral changes are going to most impact your personal financial situation and your personal carbon footprint. And I think if everybody starts to take that mindset, we can all work together towards a more positive climate future.
Lizzie, thank you so much for your time today. Best of luck with Scope Zero and all the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Invested in Climate. Please remember to rate us on Apple, Spotify, or Google. Find show notes, sign up for updates, get in touch, and visualize your climate action at investedinclimate.com. This podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute financial, accounting, or legal advice. Thanks again.